Jimmy, I got the word.
Go!
Listen, friends, here is my thesis.
Hey,
Lily, Lily, lo. Peace to the world, or the world in pieces. Hey, Lily, Lily, lo. Hey!
Hey, Lily, Lily,
hey!
Hey, Lily, Lily, lo.
Hey, Lily, Lily, Lily.
Hey,
Lily, Lily,
lo.
Well, I got a cow. She gives good milk. Hey, Lily, Lily, lo. Taught her to shimmy. Now she gives buttermilk. Hey, Lily, Lily, lo.
Hey, Lily, Lily,
hey, Lily, Lily,
hey, Lily, Lily,
Commander Shepard up in space.
Hey, Lily, Lily, lo.
Going to catch the Russians in this race.
Hey, Lily, Lily, lo.
Hey!
Hey, Lily, Lily.
What?
Hey, Lily, Lily, lo.
Hey, Lily, Lily, Lily.
Hey, Lily, Lily, lo.
Cousin Thelma sitting in a chair.
Hey,
Lily, Lily, lo. H, he got the prettiest hair.
Hey, Lily, Lily, lo.
Hey!
Hey, Lily, Lily, Lily,
Lily. Well, keep that old beat going, and I'll tell you a little story. I come from Colorado, and summer before last, we were having a little party one night after a concert. And the hostess and the hostess that are telling us about a friend of theirs who wrote poetry. Seems as how one time he had submitted a verse to the Saturday Evening Post, and doggone if they didn't accept it. Well, they told us a verse, and we thought it would make a real great one for Hey Lily. It goes like this. I shake and shake that ketchup bottle.
Hey,
Lily, Lily, lo. None will come, and then a lot'll. Hey, Lily, Lily, lo.
Hey!
Hey, Lily, 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 lo.
Hey,
Lily, 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 hey, Lily, Lily, lo.
One more time.
Hey, Lily, 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 hey, Lily, Lily, lo. Hey, Lily, 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 hey, Lily, Lily, lo.
Is any of y'all who want to get into a little hootenanny, we're going to meet down here by the back of the museum. And if you'd like to come down and sing and shout a little bit, we'd love to join with you.
When after the program, and you're invited, if you can sing, that's all. Or if you're a good listener, you're invited. And here are our lovely friends, Jake and Winifred Moon, who know lots of pretty songs.
I'm sorry. Please don't get me.
All right, now you're doing real fine up there, boys and girls. Let's listen.
Digging for gold in the street. At least when I asked them, that's what I was told. So I just took a hand at this digging for gold. for all that I found there, I might as well be where the mountains of Mourn sweep down to the sea. You remember young Paddy O'Loughlin, of course. Well, he now is the head of the London police force. I met him today, I was crossing the Strand, and he held the whole street with one wave of his hand. And as we stood talking of days that are gone, sure the whole population of London looked on. But for all his great powers, he's wishful to be where the mountains of Mourn sweep down to the sea. Oh, there's beautiful girls here, but oh, never mind. With such beautiful shapes nature never designed, with lovely complexions, all roses and cream. But O'Loughlin remarked with regard to the same, oh, if one of those roses you'd venture to kiss, sure the bloom of the rose comes away on your lips. So I'll wait for the wild rose that's waiting for me, where the mountains of Mourn sweep down to the sea.
Like to sing a little spiritual for you. Oh, won't you sit down, Lord? I can't sit down. Sit down, Lord, I can't sit down. Oh, won't you sit down, Lord? I can't sit down. Just got to heaven, got to look around. Who's that yonder dressed in red? Must be the children that Moses led. Who's that yonder dressed in white? Must be the children of the Israelites. Oh, won't you sit down, Lord? I can't sit down. Sit down, Lord, I can't sit down. Oh, won't you sit down, Lord? I can't sit down. Just got to heaven, got to look around. Who's that yonder dressed in blue? Must be the children that are coming through. Who's that yonder dressed in black? Must be the hypocrites are turning back. Oh, won't you sit down, Lord? I can't sit down. Sit down, Lord, I can't sit down. Oh, won't you sit down, Lord? I can't sit down. Just got to heaven, got to look around. How about everybody singing that chorus with us? Oh, won't you sit down, Lord? I can't sit down. Sit down, Lord, I can't sit down. Oh, won't you sit down, Lord, I can't sit down. Just got to heaven, got to look around. Good. Thank you.
Cousin Mark, do you have a quickie ready for us? Yes. A quickie.
I don't know whether to come down to it or bring it up to me. Well, here we are. A quick? No, no. No, I'm sorry, Cousin Thelma. I'm here and I'm going to stay a while.
That's all right with me.
I didn't say how long a while. Now, don't come at me with that. All right. You're a real singing bunch of people tonight. Daggone, it's real fine. Now, here we go. We're going to sing another little song. We did this one yesterday morning for the kids, and I'm a firm believer in children's folk songs. I do programs and lecture recitals all over the place, and one thing I love to do is work for the youngsters, and this is a song that they always like. But you know, it doesn't seem to make any difference what age these youngsters are. all the way up to 85 and 90. Just love this little old song, which came from England originally. And again, I will say that it's probably very appropriate that we do it here tonight, because Cousin Thelma and I learned it together in Washington last year from a young fellow by the name of Dave Sear, who is a singer that comes from New York City. Now, I'm going to teach you the chorus of this song. If you youngins up there in the back row will hesh up a little bit so everybody else can hear, we'll appreciate it. Dadgummit. Thank you kindly. All right. This is the way the chorus goes. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum. That's all there is to it. Now, I'll do it once more so you can get it. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum. Very good. Now, that's the melody. We got some harmony parts that go real well with this, and I'll teach them to you. If you're a high tenor or a soprano, you can sing along something like this. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. Played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum. That's a good one. Then the melody goes underneath that. And then if you're a baritone or an alto, you can sing this part. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum. Now, that's the tough one. Now, wait a minute. We ain't ready for the rhythm yet, and besides, this ain't that kind of a song. Now, I know we must have some basses down there somewhere in this crowd.
And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. He played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum.
That's good. Now, you basses, be sure you're not singing the melody an octave below. You've got a special part all your own. You stay off the melody. That's for the second sopranos. All right, now, everybody, pick a part, any part, and just sing out big and good and loud and let your hair down like mine is and have fun. Here we go.
And he played upon a ladle, a ladle.
Wow! I said you were a singing crowd, and boy, was that an underestimation. All right, once more and we'll have it, and then I'll start some verses. We'll go through. This is an example of the type of folk song that's to be found in every culture, the nonsense song. It doesn't make any sense at all, but it sure is fun. All right, once more, and here we go.
And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. Played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum.
Real good.
Now there was a man lived in the moon, lived in the moon, lived in the moon. There was a man lived in the moon, and his name was Aiken Drum. Now, and he played upon a ladle, ladle, a ladle. Played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum. Well, his hair was made of wheat straw, wheat straw, wheat straw. His hair was made of wheat straw, and his name was Aiken Drum. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. Played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum.
Real fine.
Well, his head was made of cream cheese, cream cheese, cream cheese. His head was made of cream cheese, and his name was Aiken Drum. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. Played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum.
Very good.
Well, his coat was made of good roast beef, good roast beef, good roast beef. His coat was made of good roast beef, and his name was Aiken Drum. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. Played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum.
I said everybody ought to be singing, and there's a lady in the front row that ain't. Now, come on, sing.
Well, his breeches were made of haggis bags, haggis bags, haggis bags. His breeches were made of haggis bags, and his name was Aiken Drum. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. Played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum.
That young man in the back row is a little flat. Pull it up, please.
Well, his shoes were made of whiffle sticks, whiffle sticks, whiffle sticks. His shoes were made of whiffle sticks, and his name was Aiken Drum. And he played upon a ladle, a ladle, a ladle. Played upon a ladle, and his name was Aiken Drum. shaken drum. Again now, one more time, let's hear you clear up to the big old stars. And he played upon a little, 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 played upon a little, and his name was Aiken Drum.
Thank you very, very much. You're great.
Two more folk artists here on the benches, and one of them's better than cornbread and buttermilk. None other than the greatest tall tale teller of all, but he's not going to start off with tall tales. He's brought his guitar. Oh, his banjo. Yes, his five-string banjo. And you know, Stephen Foster wrote his music for the banjo. And so, Cousin Lem Griffith's going to step up here and sing you an old song on the five-string banjo. Come on, Cousin Lem. He said he's not going to play it, he's going to pick it.
I'm just going to make an effort to try to sing, you know. I'm no Perry Como nor Pat Boone. I probably sound more like a crazy loon. But this is a song that I learned from my grandmother between 55 and 60 years ago, and I never heard her sing any other song except that one song. I never heard anyone else sing it but her, and I don't know if it could have probably been the only one she knew, and I don't know its origin. I don't know if it came from Scotland or from Ireland, but without a doubt, it came from one of the other places. If I was any singer, it would be a good song, but I'm just going to try. At the foot of those mountains where the fountains does flow, no amusement intended where the pleasant winds blow, there I spied a fair damsel, she's a girl I adore, and it's you I will marry on this New England shore. So as her old parents came this far to hear, they said they would part her from her darling so dear. They gathered an army of 20 or more to fight this young soldier on the New England shore. He drew out his broadsword and he waved it around till 7 out of 20 lay dead on the ground. 3 more he wounded, and he wounded quite sore. He gained this fair lady on the New England shore. She wrote her love a letter, and she wrote it quite sad. No amusement intended to make his heart glad. She cries, "Come back, my dear Dewey, it is you I adore, and it's you I will marry on this New England shore. The ships on the ocean shall sail without sail. The smallest of fishes shall change into whale. The rocks shall melt love to fill the ocean, you see. If ever I prove false to the girl that loves me."
In appreciation of that song, I want to sing you one, Cousin Lim. Now, my friend who's out here in the audience, who is from, he says, Shagrag, Alabama, learned me this song, and I am singing it specially to him, because I have told you all repeatedly that I'm a maiden lady, but hope springs eternal in the feminine breast. So, in appreciation, I'm going to sing this little song. Always remember and keep in mind that the old cow's tail hangs down behind. It may be ugly and full of cuckleburrs, but the old cow loves it because it's hers. All right, now, Cousin Lim. I want you to pick your banjo.
When his guitar fell over down over there so hard, it knocked my banjo out of tune. Well, I'm going to pick for you folks, I'll try to pick, the Hen Cackle, which used to be famous back in the teens. Now I'll get started directly.
Tell us who he is?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us, Mommy.
This is my little grandson, Jimmy Farley, 11 years old. He is fatherless. His father died with a heart attack a few years ago. And he is going to pick you folks a tune on his guitar.
This song's called Lonely Boy. I'm just a lonely boy. Lonely and blue. I'm all alone with nothing to do. I've got everything that you can think of, but all I want is someone to love. Someone, yes, someone to love, someone to hold, someone to kiss. At a moment like this, I've searched so far from the heavens. just someone to love, someone to hold, someone to kiss at a moment like this.
Isn't he gonna tell us a tall tale? Great goodness.
I just sang that song, you know, from the time we are born until we ride the hearse. Nothing never happens but what could have been worse. And that's the reason why I sang that song. I'm just an old country boy, and I'm not very smart. When I am asked to tell a joke, I don't know how to start. I was raised out in the swampland where bear and panthers walk. I learned to fish and shoot my gun before I could even talk. I may look a little funny or seem a little queer, but my father could have been an alligator or my mother a big black bear. My home could be in a hollow tree away out in the woods, but Miss Thelmer invited me here and I better deliver the goods. I'm very proud to be here tonight because I had such a time of getting here. I left home a little early and I thought I'd ride around and look at some of the country. And I got away over there on one of them three-path roads and I got lost. I didn't know where I was at. I saw an old fella side the road. He wasn't my age, but then he was old enough. And I asked him if he'd tell me the way to White Springs. He says, no, I sure can't. I thanked him, drove him down the road for peace, and I heard him hollering. Looked back, and he was waving for me to go back. I went back, and another fella come up there with him, and he told me, this is my friend Bill, and he want me to tell you that he don't know the way either. I went on after a while, I found another fella. He was a real smart fella. I knew he was. He told me how to get here. I asked him, could he tell me how to get to White Springs? He says, yeah, you go right straight on down this road. Nope. You go down this road and turn to the left. Nope, that won't get you there either. But I'll tell you what you do. You go down this road for a mile, and you turn to the right. You go down the road for another mile, and you turn to the right again. You come back into this road right here at my corn crib. Go back home and start again, because you can't get there from here. When I got here, I was a little hungry and went in a cafe. There were some more folks in there. One fella sitting over a table. He hollers, waiter, what's this fly doing in my soup? She looked over there. Says, from where I stand, looks like he's doing the backstroke. Kind of an old fella was sitting over there. I ordered sausage myself. I always like to eat them. Another kind of an old fella over there, he says, waiter, would you please read this menu to me? She says, goodness, no, I can't read. I'm just as dumb as you are. I got my sausage, started to eat it, and I noticed breadcrumbs are coming out at one end of it. And I called the waiter over there, says, what's wrong with this sausage? She looked at it, said, nothing. It's a perfectly normal sausage. I said, well, there's meat in one end of it and bread in the other. How come that? She said, well, with the high price of everything, you know we can't make both ends meet. I went out of there, walked out of there, and went into a store. The lady rushed in there and said, give me a mousetrap quick. I've got to catch a bus in 5 minutes. Clerk says, lady, I'm sorry, but our mousetraps are too small for catching buses. I notice it looked like most everybody has trouble. Even President Kennedy. I notice he sent one of his foreign ambassadors over to Australia. He got a message back that he was a real nice fella. He sent another one over to the Congo. He got a message back that he was very delicious. I thought I'd tell you a little bit about some of my kin folks. You know, I can't talk much. But remember, I hadn't had a chance to practice since I got married. I told my wife a few days ago that I had found out what a husband was after being married all this many years. She wouldn't know what kind of a boob he was. I told her he was a man that had several small mouths to feed and one big one to listen at. There's one of my uncles. I had a host again, folks. There's one of my uncles. He had two horses. One of them was a black horse, and one of them was a white horse. And they were just alike. He couldn't tell them apart. He couldn't tell a white horse from a black horse. They were so much alike. So one day he measured them, and he found the black horse to be 2 feet taller than the white horse, and from then on he could tell them apart. I had an uncle. He was 92 years old, and he was at a funeral one day. And they had buried a kind of a young fella. And my uncle, he was one of these do-nothing fellas. He never would work. He just wouldn't work. He wouldn't strike a lick at a snake if the snake was to strike first. And he was talking with a preacher. And he told the preacher, he says, it's a strange thing to me why it is these young people will die off and leave these old people here like I am. The preacher says, well, it just means the Lord has got work here for you to do. He says, well, I tell you right now, I ain't going to do it. You know, it's not so very far from here to my home, and I want to tell you folks, any of you folks is ever down my way, and you need or want anything, be sure to let me know. And I'll tell you how to get along without it. Fella was telling me a few days ago that he just got married, and I asked him, was there many at his wedding? He says, 49. He says it was me and her and the preacher and her daddy with his and her daddy with his 45. The fella asked me, what could he do? What did he do about termites under his house? I said, you can't do nothing about them under your house. Come out from there and call an exterminator. Me and my wife, we never have no arguments. We both agree that she's right or that I'm wrong. I find it very easy to meet expenses this day and time. I just find plenty of them every place I go. I was at court a few days ago, and this lady is suing her husband for a divorce. Judge says, why do you want a divorce for your husband? She says, because he's untrue to me. She says, why do you think he's untrue to you? She says, because he's not the father of my 2 children.
One more.
I'll tell you about my chickens. You know, we got a bunch of chickens. Got so cold up there this last winter, my hens couldn't lay anything but snowballs. One old hen sat on a nest full of them snowballs and hatched out a whole covey of ice cream bitties. They're getting back to normal again now and laying eggs so large it don't take but 5 to make a dozen. One old hen lays eggs so large, so they're not large eggs, they're big eggs. It takes 3 hours to boil one of them 2 minutes. I thought I would tell you about my coon dog. He's a very good coon dog. He trees lots of coons. And he's often treeing 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 up one tree, but one night, not so long ago, he went out and I think he gathered up all the coons he was on 1,000 acres and run them up one tree. I went to him. It was a large tree with long branches and just coons, sitting just as thick as they could be all the way to the top of the tree. I started at the top to shooting them out. And when I got down to the bottom, my pile of coons was higher than the tree. And the last thing I shot had to fall 90 foot straight up to be on top. Let me tell just one more and I'll hush. That happened while he was in the cafe. There was some more folks over at the table and they had ordered turkey. And the colored waiter was bringing a large platter of turkey in there, you know, just all cooked up and plenty of good rich greasy gravy with all the trimmings. He stubbed his toe and fell heels overhead, broke the platter and busted all the dishes. Just scattered that greasy gravy and that turkey, just hunks of it just went bouncing all over the dining room. Oh, it was a terrible disaster. It was the downfall of Africa, the spilling of Greece, the overthrow of Turkey, and the breaking up of China all at one time.
Yes, we're going to clear the deck for a rousing good group of dancers from over Lake City Way, just across the river. And the caller will be our good friend, Cousin Jim Camp from Jacksonville. No, everything off.
Don't forget, after the show, if you want to sing something, come on down back to the museum.
I wanted Cousin Jim to answer a question for us, if he can. To what do you attribute the great popularity of square dancing, not only all over Florida, but all over our country?
Well, I tell you, Cousin Thelma, years back, while square dancing got pretty rough, we got into a lot of drinking, and they figured that a girl and a bottle went together. But when Henry Ford and Lloyd Shaw, about 15 maybe or 16 years ago, kind of came back and revived square dancing. Well, they revived it with intricate figures, and as you could see these dances as they went through them, you couldn't do very much drinking and thinking, do what they do. So we left the whiskey off, and so now it has become very popular. And however, next year at Miami Beach, that's in 62, we'll have the national convention down there, and we hope to have around maybe 25,000 dancers at one time dancing to one call in three different halls. So I think that's the truth is what has happened while they brought square dancing back and revived it with more intricate figures, which made it more interesting to the dancers, because they usually take from around 16 to 30 lessons to learn the square dance to get in a club. And so from there, while we don't practice, we just get out and dance.
Well, it's wonderful. And I wanted him to tell you this because I thought you'd be interested in it, weren't you? Thank you.
I've been calling for about 10 years now, and I've seen it come right on up.
I knew you had, and he's one of the fine callers and teachers. How many classes do you teach a week?
Well, I had one in Lake City, McClinney, and Jacksonville, and Fernandina are all about the same time.
Are you a full-time teacher?
No.
Oh,
no,
you
I
see?
I work for the railroad. Do it for a hobby.
And does this for a hobby, as so many of them do. Thank you so much. Some of you did not get to see lovely Linda Joyce Barcia dance this afternoon. She's here from Ebo City, Tampa, and the Wolf Settlement in Ebo City. To that settlement goes the credit for bringing this lovely, true Spanish dancer to us. Now, while she's coming on, would you all just stand up to rest your us nominatums a minute? Stretch! She is here, isn't she? All right. All right. You may relax again now. And while she changes her costume for her second dance, Cousin Jack Parker from Orlando will whistle for us. Will you explain to us the intricacy of your whistling?
I just would like to explain to you that haven't heard me before, but I use my hands as a musical instrument. I use these three fingers in my mouth, and you don't whistle when you do that. Sometimes try it, and you'll see. It's a back pressure from the hands to the diaphragm, which causes the tonations. And then to change it in different ways, I bounce the sound vibrations off my fingernails. That gives it an instrumental tone. And then musical instruments are all fixed. They are tuned ahead of time. You know what, when you strike a note, you're going to make it. Well, in this, I have to think ahead and try to keep my hands in tune to make a true note. And just 1/16th of an inch movement of a finger will throw me off just a little. And it's a very hard thing to do. But, of course, I'm one of these Kissimmee crackers, and I kept at it till I can do something with it. So I'm up now in about high school with it. But there's much more to do after that. And may I say one more thing? Mr. Mark Moore said for everybody to let their hair down and sing. Well, that stumped me because the Lord let my hair down 30 years ago.
We enjoy the Greek Boy Scouts. And thank you. That you can see that that's the choir letting their hair down tonight. All right, now let me finish what I'm going to say here. He wrote me a little note or two, and he wrote it good and big so I can see it. The dog, if I can find it. So I just think I'll let Cousin Nick come in here and tell you about the spoon beaters himself. Come on, Cousin Nick. Okay. Boys, come on down to the mic so we can hear you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll just repeat what I had written for Cousin Thelma. These youngsters are members of Troop 23 Boy Scouts, sponsored by the Rotary Club of Tarpon Springs. This Rhythm Spoons group, organized within the troop to entertain other scouts at camps, camporees, and jamborees, and was first tried in unison at the jamboree last July at Colorado Springs. They appeared on radio and television while there, and we hope you like it.